in the 49th chapter, the first verse. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword in the shadow of his hand. Hath he hid me, and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver hath he hid me, and said unto me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I have labored in vain, I have spent my strength for naught, and in vain. Yet surely my judgment is with the Lord, and my work with my God. Now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him. Though Israel be not gathered yet, shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And he said, It is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to him whom man despiseth, to him whom the nations abhor, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise. Princes also shall worship because of the Lord that is faithful and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth. Thou mayest say to the prisoners, Go forth. To them that are in darkness, show thou yourself. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them. For he that hath mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of water shall he guide them. And I will make all my mountains a way, and my highways shall be exalted. Behold, these shall come from far. Lo, these from the north and from the west, and these from the lands of Sinai. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth in the singing, O mountain, for the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion said, The Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. The children shall make haste, thy destroyers, and they that make thee waste shall go forth of thee. Lift up thine eyes round about, and behold all these gathered themselves together and come to thee. As I live, saith the Lord, thou shalt surely clothe thee with them all, as with an ointment, and bind them on thee as a bride doeth. I'm persuaded to believe that we are in the greatest hour that the world has ever known. You might not agree with me, and of course if you don't, I would feel bad at you, because you have your own way of life. But I'm persuaded to believe that there has never in the history of all mankind been a day like the day that we're living in. It's the most glorious, the most blessed, well, it's the day when all the prophets look to. It's the time when Brother Branham looked for. It's the time when Paul looked for. The time when Jesus spoke about. And it's such a wonderful hour, such a wonderful day. There is a great change such as never has taken place in the history of the world. There is no way to stop the moving of God's Spirit. God is brand new. God is doing a new thing. The rain of heaven is coming down, and people are beginning to be resurrected. They're beginning to awaken to where they can come into something special with God. And I'm thankful to have a little part in it. I'm very grateful to God that He would consider me that I could have a part in it. I'd like for you to concentrate tonight as we make reference to the board and try to get into just a little bit of teaching tonight and explain a few things if the anointing of God will allow us to do it. Most everybody's familiar with it. The garden scene, the seven church ages, the seals, the trumpets, the thunders, the vows, and so many other antics here. Now, you're familiar with it. I'd like for you to observe what we're saying, what we're doing, and see if the Lord will give us a thought tonight. Now, according to the scripture that I read tonight, the Lord said that He was going to bring a restoration, that there would be a restoration. I believe that we're living in the prophetic hour of the restoration. Somebody recently was telling some others, I believe Brother Bucky or someone referred to it, said, just wait, the Lord's going to do something. And I made the statement, if we're waiting for the Lord to do something, I'm afraid we're going to get left out, because there's not much more time to use. If Brother Branham is right in the things that he taught, then you don't have any time to wait. They made the statement, said somebody said, well, what you need to do is wait, because this is the time of the 30 minutes of silence. Just be silent and wait. I also made the statement, if it's the 30 minutes of silence, we better wake up and get moving, showing up, because the 30 minutes of silence brings the blood off the mercy seat, and after that, there ain't going to be anything else we can do. So whatever you can do, you better do it. I firmly believe that what we need to do is to occupy until He comes. For the Bible says, blessed is the servant that I so find doing. That's what I believe. Brother Brown stated, if you're building a house, keep on building. If you're planting a vineyard, keep on planting. Whatever you're doing, just keep on doing. Occupy, the scripture says, until He comes. If we do that, then everything will be all right. I'll go back tonight, if I can take the time here to get into the mind of the Lord Jesus. I'll go back over here to the 10th chapter of Revelation. It's in the 10th chapter of Revelation that we have a lot of controversy. A lot of things are said, and different people have different opinions of what took place over in this era. But going back to this, to see if there's any tie at all in the days we're living in this particular passage of Scripture. Now, I might believe just a little bit different from some of the teachers, but I believe that if they will listen to what I'm telling you, that they'll find out that it's Scripture. A lot of times we don't like to accept the new thing, but if they'll listen, a lot of times it's for our own benefit. Notice this, for instance, now. I teach that from Calvary, that the first resurrection took place at Calvary. We'll get into the thought here if we can break into it. You're familiar with this. I teach that at Calvary, the first resurrection took place. I know that that's a little contrary to what the average individual teaches, but I have a reason for teaching this. At Calvary, the first resurrection took place. The Bible tells us, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Is that right? They say, Brother Pike, where do you get that is the first resurrection? Most people would say, don't you know that the first resurrection is when the saints of God get up out of the ground, when the rapture takes place? I know that. Now, but Jesus said, I am the resurrection. Is that right? Jesus also said,
that he was the first fruits of them that slept. Is that right? That makes him the first resurrection. He is the resurrection. Now, the only reason that the first resurrection is not accounted for at Calvary is because when Jesus came up out of the grave, he was taken into the heavenlies and was made to sit at the right hand of the Father. Therefore, the first resurrection is not accounted for until Revelation 19, when the same Jesus returns in Revelation 19, then the Bible says that this is the first resurrection. Is that right? Read the book of Revelation and see if that's correct. Why did it say in Revelation 19 that this is the first resurrection? Because Jesus at Calvary was the first fruit of them that slept, the first resurrection. Inasmuch as man looks on the outward appearance, man did not accept it as the first resurrection because Jesus was hid away in the heavens and man could not see the first resurrection until he returns in Revelation 19 and then they see the first resurrection. So then, I think it's wonderful, blessed and holy is he that had part in the first resurrection. That is, if you're found within the blood atonement, if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, if you're reckoned to be dead with him by Calvary, buried with him in baptism, then, brothers and sisters, you are in the first resurrection, over which the second death has no power. Hallelujah. I feel like preaching. Amen. It's kind of hard to teach when you get to feeling like preaching. This is a beautiful, beautiful thing that's taking place. I want to be a part of the body of the Lord Jesus. You people sitting here tonight, you can't imagine the privilege that you have. You can't understand how great it is to be numbered in the land of the living. I remember what the scripture said when he spoke of Satan and he walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. You see the people out there, and when you get in the anointing, and you get into the spirit, and all of a sudden you see them light up, and you see the stones of fire, and how beautiful and how radiant they are. I'll tell you, it's a wonderful thing. It's no wonder that the angels of God desire to look into this. It's such a great thing. When you start speaking and people start believing, and then all of a sudden the light of heaven comes down, and you see the glorious halo as it goes back. Like I spoke of this morning, when the priest with the Urim Thummim stands up here, and all of a sudden the breastplate of the Urim Thummim begins to flash like that, because somewhere in the audience there is somebody where the Spirit of God begins to radiate, coming forth, and he hits the Urim Thummim and flashes back with a covenant over the audience, and the beauty of God's Spirit begins to come over, and the hallowed presence of God comes around, and you get just kind of wounded, right? You just get caught away in the atmosphere. Like the boy was talking the other day, the Peruvian. I started talking to him. As I began to talk to him and contacted the boy's spirit, all of a sudden the anointing of God came down. When the anointing of God came down, it began to go from me to him and from him to me. And Brother Bill said, you know that? He said, those lights, like I could see it. But I could tell the connection was going on. And the boy just got caught away. And all of a sudden he sat up on the end of the seat like this. He said, did you ever have the feeling that you were somewhere else? Hallelujah. Praise God, I feel like I'm somewhere else. Hallelujah. I've been seeing the Holy Ghost all day. Some of these things I can't. I tell you what. I get to feel like he's just going to take me on a little younger somewhere. I really do. I get to feeling so wonderful, so I just feel like I'm just, I don't know, like the boy said, I'm just somewhere else. That's all it is to it. It's wonderful. It's just wonderful. Hallelujah. Praise God. So then, blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. I hope you're alive tonight. I hope you're hearing the voice of that trumpet said, when the last trump sounds, then the dead in Christ shall rise first. And everyone that hears his voice shall come forth. And they that have done righteousness shall come forth unto everlasting life. But you have done evil shall come forth unto damnation. Is that right? But blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. Tonight, if we are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, we not only have part in the first resurrection, but we are the first resurrection. We are the truth. We are the life. And the world is waiting to hear from us. Our words are spirit. Our words are life. We're the body of Jesus, members in particular. And we are the resurrection from the dead. Hallelujah. We sang that song on that resurrection morning. When all the dead in Christ shall rise, I'll have a new body, I'll have a new life. I look at the cross here. I see so many things in Calvary until I can write a book just on Calvary. As a matter of fact, spiritual conquest centered around Calvary. Write a book about it. What a beautiful thought. I thought about Brother Bill yesterday when he was up there and the things that took place. I was talking to Brother Buckingham today about a few things that took place. And a lot of times I look at a man, I look at an individual, and I think, Lord, it's just another man. And then the Lord will speak to my heart and say, but it's the body of Jesus. It's filled with adventure. That man's life is filled with adventure. It's filled with great mysteries. It's filled with great exciting things. If you could just know his life, know his background, know what his future is, know what God's doing. And I took a look at Bill when I got in the anointing. And it was so beautiful what he represented, what he was doing, what his life was, and what a solid being. It's so beautiful the things that Bill's life represents and what God's doing in the life of Bill. Amen. Hallelujah. Here, in Revelation 10, when the angel stepped out with the thunders, he stepped out. This angel of Revelation 10 had the book. I believe that the book had to do with the thunders. I believe that the book had to do with those seven thunders. He stepped out with the book. And the angel said, over here, said, John, go take the little book out of the angel's hand. Is that right? Hallelujah. Who was it told me that Brother Bill's name in the little book? Oh, I'll tell you what. It's wonderful. It's wonderful what it shows. But the angel said to John, go get the book. You ever notice that in the book of Revelation that only one that is only one that walks up to the throne of God and takes the book. Only one. Only one can walk up and take the book. Notice, in Revelation 10, he doesn't say anything about taking the book until the end of the church ages. It's when the church ages are over and then when the angel comes forth, and he tells them, he said, go get the book. Amen. Go get the book. Amen. John, go get the book. Amen. And eat it all. Take every bit of it. Somebody said, Brother Tony, what are you talking about? Eat the book. Jesus said, lo, I come in the volume of the book. As it is written to me, O God, to do thy will. And he said, lest you can eat me, you don't have any life in you. Go get the book, John, and eat the book. Eat all of the book. My Brother Jim come to me today to tell me about a vision that someone had and said, the person said, in the vision, the Lord said, you don't have on the wedding garment. Well, what is the wedding garment? The Bible said, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Talk like Christ. Walk like Christ. Act like Christ. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Bible tells us that he is our righteousness. He's our wedding garment. For the Bible says that the wedding garment was the righteousness of the saints. And he's our righteousness. Let's put him on. Paul said, if men be baptized into Christ, they have put on Christ. For we're baptized into his death, resurrected in the newness of his body. You understand what I'm saying? There was only one to walk up and get the book. When the Ancient of Days sat on the throne, the Lord spoke, and here comes the Lamb that had been slain from the foundation of the world. And John, he wept, and he wept, and nobody was worthy to take the book. Then all of a sudden the voice said, weep not, John. Said, for the Lamb, the child of Judah, that is prevailed over the book. And the Bible said that he walked up to the Ancient of Days and took the book. He took the book. I said the other night in the teaching, when he took the book, remember here at Calvary, Jesus said, lo, I come in the volume of the book, as it is written of me, O God, to do thy will. Offerings and sacrifices thou wouldst not. He said, but a body thou hast prepared. Here in the volume of the book, when Jesus came and hung upon Calvary, here the veil was rent in twain. How was the veil rent in twain? Can you tell me? The Bible says when the Lamb of God went and took the book, it had seven seals on it. It was sealed with seven seals. The book, the volume of the book, a body thou hast prepared. But the book couldn't be opened. The book was there. The book was there. And the knowledge of God was inside the book. And everything that we needed was within the book. For the Bible said the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. They hung the book at Calvary, but nobody could open the book. Then the Lamb of God, a voice from heaven said, weep not, John. The church weeping, saying, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Nobody can open the book. Nobody can open the book. But then a voice said, weep not, John. There is one that has prevailed over the book. The Lamb, the Lamb, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And the Bible said that he walked up as a lamb that had been slain, a bloody lamb, walked up as one that had been slain, and when he did, he opened the book. Is that right? The veil was rent in Calvary. The book came open. The Bible said in the sixth seal of Revelation that you look and the ark of his testament was sealed. Never before had it been seen till the veil was rent. But Jesus said, I come in the body of the book. As it's written of me, O God, to do thy will. Hallelujah. And he opened the book at Calvary when the veil was rent, and the seven church ages began to unfold, and the mystery of God began to come. That's why Jesus said, that the angel said, John, take them up. Read all of it, all of it. Hallelujah, it belongs to you. John was crying and said, nobody couldn't open the book. Jesus opened the book, and the seven church ages began to unfold. As the minister began to tell the book, you say, hey, what? It was the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only one. Here that book was sealed with seven seals. Nobody could open it. Why? It was a preparation by the hand of God. It has been, this thing has been lost. Made the statement the other day, Adam lost his right to all of what God gave. Every bit of it was gone. He couldn't get it back. The bees had been lost off. Squatters was on the land. Nobody could get it. But when Jesus came and walked up before the throne, in so many words, he was just saying, nobody has prevailed. Everyone is lost. Since the time of Adam, the whole world is gone. Nobody can redeem it. But he said, it belongs to me. I purchased it with my blood. God gave him the book. What was the seven seals? The seven spirits of God that was before the throne. The book was rolled up. You know, in that time they rolled it up like a scroll. Had it rolled up, and the seven seals was on it. You say, where did he get them? Because when the Lamb came and stood age was in the third church age, the fourth, and the fifth, and right on down to the seventh, until every one of them was loose. You say, lose time to the ministry, to the ministry. And the Bible said when the mysteries of God are finished, that when was brought to Calvary, when the mysteries are finished, that is when they finish preaching the mysteries, where these seals are released, then shall the end come. When the mysteries are finished. Look at it, coming on down through the church age. From the time that the church age sets in, and the seals start to be loose, then, did you notice something? It is after the loosing of the seals. It is after the loosing of the seals that all of these things begin to take place. You notice that? Notice this, that it's not until the seventh seal is turned loose here that these trumpets begin to set in. Is that right? Somebody say amen. Yeah. Encourage. Hallelujah. In the seventh seal, when you notice the seventh seal wasn't open, all the rest of them was. Is that right? See, the first church age, the second church age, and then all of a sudden in the fourth chapter, the Bible says that John went up. A voice said, John, there's a door open. You see it? See, he said, John, that is a door open. A door. Where? The cow. There's a door. Peter, upon this rock I build the church. That's why the Catholics always say that Peter's the first pope. They know that there was something to that. Peter carried the keys. Go open the door to the Gentiles. Go open to the door. Open the door to the Jews. Because it's the door open in heaven now. I give you the keys to the kingdom, Peter. Open the door. Somebody said, what kind of door did he open? He opened the door in heaven. Somebody said, where did he open it? When Jesus said, oh, that, said, Peter said, what do you think about me? He said, I say that you are. And he opened the door. Or he said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Hallelujah. Said, that wasn't somebody that told you that. He said, Peter, you broke in the spiritual revelation. That's what you've done. The door opened. You prove that you see something, Peter. You're not looking at flesh and blood. He said, my Father, the Spirit, has revealed this unto you. Is that right? A door is open in heaven. The door is open in heaven. What is it that it's all the way down at the end of the church age before we ever see that door? All the way down, before people ever recognize the door, that it's been opened up in heaven. But see, when that door is open, the Bible said the law and the prophets were unto John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached. That is, the door was open since that time. And then when the door was open, then we go right into it. This is why the people don't agree with me when I speak about Brother Brown's message, Brother Brown's ministry. If the types and shadows of God's working is the same, then Brother Brown came to be an open door. I brought it out one day here. I brought out the astronauts, how that Shepherd went up. And Shepherd was the first one that made the doorway between heaven and earth that man might enter into the galaxies. Is that correct?
Amen.
Why? Because it was a type of the Lord Jesus. Brother Brian came along about that time. Brother Brian excelled all other teachers, went up into the heavens, and just as Jesus went up between heaven and earth, he stood in the natural as a man. He stood in the spirit of an angelic being and became an open door that we who believe in God might go in and out by the door as a sheepfold. Is that right? In the typical sense of this age that we're living in. Somebody said, Brother Pike, he couldn't do that because Jesus is the door. How many believe that we are Jesus? Yeah, I know what you thought. Hallelujah. Somebody said, now, Brother Pike, if I'd have raised my hand, then I'd have said you was Jesus. Well, don't feel bad about it. It's all right, I'm a member of the body in particular too. Hallelujah. the veil is rent in twain. Somebody said, now what do you mean by that? Jesus made in his body twain here. He made in himself two, both Lord and Christ. And when the veil was rent in twain, differentiating between the two, the Lord went one way and the Christ went the other way. You believe it? The Lord went down into the grave. Can you say amen to that? But the Christ went up into paradise. Is that right? See, differentiating between the two at the rent veil. That was three things that took place. The body went one way, the spirit went another way, and the soul went another way. The soul into hell, the body into the grave, the spirit into paradise. Is that right? They believed that paradise was in the earth at that time. You remember this, that when the mold is open, out steps the image. When the Catholic Church, which represented the middle part, the middle wall partition, when it stepped out, it became the church of all the earth. Because it was a type of the invisible church. God always gives the credit to the natural type in the earth to keep his types and shadows right. But it was only a type of the real true church. So when the veil come open, one part went this way, one part went this way, and the middle part went this way. The rapture. Is that right? The first resurrection was the rapture. This is where people get misput and they don't understand. Already, there's some minds that's wondering already. I've caught your spirit, mind. You don't no more know what I'm saying than nothing. You're just hearing a lot of words, and that's all there is to it. And you don't know what I'm saying. But if you had a little bit of discernment, then you'd understand that the things I'm saying to you is real needful. Real needful. Now, if the first resurrection took place at Calvary, then that substantiates what we believe and what we're trying to tell you about the rapture being a revelation. Does it sound the reason that if the rapture took place, or rather the resurrection took place at Calvary, that resurrection was the rapture? It was the rapture. That resurrection was the rapture. For the rapture took place at Calvary. I want to say it again so we don't get misput. There is no such thing as the rapture. No such thing as the rapture. No Bible teaching to the rapture. None at all whatsoever. It is called the change. In the Bible, it is referred to as the change from glory to glory. As we behold the light of Christ coming from the veil, we are changed into the glorious image of the Son of God. From glory to glory, and that glory is revealed from knowledge unto knowledge, Paul said. Is that right? The knowledge of the glory of God causes the transformation of the mind, a change, a translation of the spirit, which literally transfigures the body into the God image. The rapture, as we refer to it, took place right here. The same way that the resurrection is not accounted for to Revelation 19, showing that the rapture is not accounted for until the church age mysteries are finished. Are you listening?
Amen.
When the church age mysteries are finished, then we will come mysteries of the Bible, not beliefs, and this kind of thing. That's good. The songwriter wrote it, that's a good way to show humility. But the songwriter's wrong in this way. He ought to know the mysteries of the Bible. He's supposed to know. God told us to learn. Coming to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't ever take a song or something like that and cut it yourself by saying, well, I don't know, and God understands, because God don't understand. If you don't know the mysteries of the Bible, you need to know the mysteries of the Bible. Now, see, the Lord said, John, take the book. It was at the end of the church ages when everything was over that the church was to get the book. You follow me? We were to get the book at the end of the church age. You understand what I'm saying? Take the book. When? At the end of the church age. Somebody said, well, Brother Branham was the last messenger for the church age. If that be true, then it must have been the last church age. At the end of the church ages, then came the book. John was caught up into heaven, and he didn't get the book until he was caught up into heaven. How do you understand what I'm saying? John did not get the book until he was caught up into heaven. When he was caught up into heaven, then he got the book. What they're trying to do, they're trying to do it backwards. They're trying to get the book before they get caught up into heaven. He can't do it. The book is in the mind of Jesus Christ. And the book is the mind of Jesus Christ. And you can't get that down here in seminary. You can't get it in the church. It's when you get in the Spirit, and the Spirit is heaven. John put it in the Spirit of the Lord there. The Spirit is heaven. And when you get in the Spirit, then you get the book. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, I got one of them Bibles. Yeah, I don't doubt that. Al Capone probably had one too. Well, I'm talking about the book. The book. The Bible said he loosed the seals on the book. He was able to loose the seal. The binding was by the seven spirits of God, like Samson's lock on his head. When Delilah cut them locks off, he was completely weak. As long as the Spirit of God is gone from the church, you don't have any strength. That's what's happened to it the last few years. The Spirit of God is just lifting from it because the people got to the world. Like Samson got to messing with Delilah. Got caught away in the lust of the things of the flesh. The Bible said one day the locks begin to grow back. The locks begin to grow back. And he began to get his strength back. And the one that mocked him began to realize that the strength was coming back. One time the church shouted, run, jumped, hollered, had a good time. That's all they know to do because it was children. But they knew the Spirit of God was with them. Had a good time. It was really the move of God. It wasn't long before they got to messing with the world. Then he got down to the dungeon, got bound, the locks got cut off. They cut themselves off from the Spirit of God. And then they got weak. But brother, the locks is growing back. The Spirit of God's coming back to the church. Samson is coming out of the dungeon, and the revelation is coming, and the resurrection taking place. Amen. God's calling man to sign the grave clothes. We're coming out, moving out. And a move is starting through the land again. Starting through the land. When Brother Brown died, it was typical of what happened in the church world. He died, went out, went away. Even the voice of healing went out to change into Christ to the nations. Why? Because there was to be a change in singing song. But it was a change after a while. I'm going to stop in a few minutes, but I want to say just a few more things. Notice this, that when the Lamb took the book, then he loosed the seals. Brother Brown came. Now, Brother Brown preached the seal. Don't ever make the mistake of saying that Brother Brown will loose the seal. Brother Brown was a man. And the Bible said no man. That means Brother Brown too. one gets a revelation over here, another gets a revelation over there, and another of us cross, looping the seals, looping the seals. You say, how do you get that? Because here at Calvary, this was the book. The Bible said, when the great judgment comes, it tells us that the books were open. The books were open. Is that right? And the world was judged out of the things that was written in the books. Is that right? The book of life is open. What is the book of life? Jesus. Eat the book, my flesh and blood, drink my blood. Is that right? The book, the volume of the book, a body that has become. You're the book tonight. You're the book. You are the many-membered body out of the book tonight. And the Bible said when the book of life was opened, which was Jesus, the headship, who has made the word of eternal life, everyone that's found numbered written and counted by being baptized in his name, by having faith in his name, the Bible teaches that we are baptized into his death and we have put on Christ. That means that we are inside the book. The name of the Lord was a strong tower. The righteous flee into it and they are saved. Tonight, you are the book. When the Bible said, and the books were opened, and the world was judged out of the things written in the book. They say, where do we get that? Because the Bible said, know ye not that the saints shall judge the world? You're the book tonight. The books are open. They've done it unto you. They did it unto Jesus Christ. And you'll be judged accordingly, and they'll be judged accordingly. Everyone shall appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account for everything he's ever done. But listen, not one Christian person is going to the judgment of God to stand there to see if God's going to save him. The one thing that hindered God when he came in the body of Jesus was the tradition of the elders. Is that right? That was the one thing that hindered. The thing that hinders today is the tradition of the elders. It's the same old devilish trick. Every time you go to do something, they say, that ain't the way Moses said it. Christ never broke anything Moses ever done. Neither did Joshua. They've done exactly what was said. The only thing that he cut across was the tradition of the elders. That's the same way Jesus is today. He's cut across the tradition of the elders. Confound the insertion and the different things. But the same spirit that speaks in me tonight or speaks in the preacher is the same Christ that spoke to your brother Brown. It's the same Jesus. If it ain't the same Jesus, you're all lost. The same God that was talking to that human body talks to your human body. It's the same Jesus that talked to the people. Now, look at this. When we talk about the tradition of the elders, we use the old thought that, and I'm not moving the landmarks of the fathers. If it's Bible, I'm not going to move it. But I'm speaking of the tradition of the elders. As we go on to God, the light gets brighter. We understand more. We're not falling out with them in the past. They taught all that they knew. But we can't go on living like that. That's just like if I went up here to take a trip over to Germany. I say, sir, I want to buy a ticket. I say, where are you going? I say, I'm going to Germany. He say, okay, somebody bring the pity hawk. We're going to Germany. I wouldn't get in it. That's right, I wouldn't get in. Now, the Wright brothers made a successful flight in it, but I don't want to fly in the Kitty Hawk. You understand what I'm saying? There's just as much difference between yesterday and today as there is darkness and light.
The same old kitty hawk, but it's been remodeled. It's been built up. It's been added to. They got a few more things on the kitty hawk now. You understand what I'm saying? Grandma and Grandpa's buggy was all right. But it took a team of horses to pull it. I'd hate to see him going down the middle of the super today. Now, let's just look at it for just a minute. Somebody said, Brother Pine, we all are going to go to the judgment. I know I was taught this. We're going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And then when we get there, the Lord's going to open the book. When he opened the book, he turned the pages. He said, now here's Brother Pine. He'll read such and such and such and such. The book's open. Then he'll decide whether I got more bad than I have good, or more good than I have bad. If he decides I got more bad than I have good, he sends me to hell. If he decides I got more good than I have bad, he takes me to heaven. Now the question I want to ask is this. If all of that is true, then why did the Bible tell us that we spend at least 1,000 years with God, in the favor of God, reigning as kings with God, before the great white throne of judgment ever comes into view? I can't picture a man marrying a wife, living with her 1,000 years, and then deciding whether or not she's good enough to live with her. The Bible teaches that after the tribulation period, then Christ had come to the marriage supper of the Lamb. We get married, and then 1,000 years we're with our husband. Then when the great white throne of judgment comes, and he goes to judge the wicked, he turns around to his wife and says, you get down there too. So he sticks his wife down there with the wicked to see if she's wicked too. I can't see it like that. No, he might say, honey, you come on up here. You don't belong down there. You're mine. You're without spot. You're without wrinkle. You're without blemish. Then he said to her, he said, now honey, you tell me how they mistreated you when they was down here in the world. And she'll say, well, they didn't do this to me. I was hungry and they didn't bring me no food. They didn't take care of me. They didn't treat me right. And everything she says, he'll be right there. Every deed, every evil. For the Bible said the wicked dead live not again till the 1,000 years were finished. That is the second resurrection. But the Bible said, blessed and holy is he that had part in the first resurrection, which is Revelation 19. Is that right? Which resurrection started Calvary and everyone that had his name wrote down in the Lamb's Book of Life, in the blood of Jesus. Right there. Everyone that had his name wrote down will stand there in that day and they will judge the world. And everything that was ever done to the saints of God, it was displeasing to God, these others will be turned into hell fire. Now listen to this real close. The Jews will judge the nations. How many believe that? They are a type of the church. In that 1,000 years millennium, those Jews will judge the nations for the way that the nations mistreated them while they were out of their homeland. Is that Bible? And God will make them the head of the nation. And they'll punish every nation by ruling with a rod of iron and make them come up and do obeisance to them because they mistreated them. That is a type of the celestial, just 1,000 years over the hilltop. Then'll come the celestial, and that's where we come in. That's our world. That's our world. That's the morrow after the Sabbath. The millennium is the Sabbath, but the morrow is after the Sabbath. The morrow and the Sabbath, which is a celestial, when God glorifies everything after having restored it, restored the flowers, restored everything that Adam ever lost. Then when he gets his creation fully restored, then the great white throne of judgment comes down, the Ancient of Days comes down, and God glorifies everything to where it can be preserved forever and nothing can be lost anymore. That's where we come in. I believe that if you could understand tonight the thing that I'm telling you, that you would have an entire new world. Now listen to this right here. If we have conquered death, if death is a thing of the past, if death is over and death is behind us, and I can't go into this subject because I didn't take too long on the other subject, but if it is behind us, if we are the resurrection and the life, if I am the resurrection and the life. Somebody didn't like it the first letter. Thought we'd add a little strength to it. Somebody say, now, wait, Brother Pike, what's the matter with you? Not a thing. He said, it wouldn't be me that doing the talking. He is the resurrection.
Glory.
Tonight, if we've overcome death, if you're the membership of the body, if you're the book tonight, then you are the resurrection. You are the life. You can't be sick. You can't die. You can't stay in poverty. You say, but Brother Pike, I do get sick and we do die and I am in poverty. It's because of your unbelief. You don't believe in your benefits account. You don't believe in what God did. You don't believe in what God done for you. Paul said, comprehend the heights, comprehend the depth, comprehend the width. That's the very thing that's wrong right now. The Jews had the word, but the Bible said they didn't get anything out of it. It didn't profit them because it wasn't mixed with faith. But we're supposed to mix it with faith. This is words of life. Words of eternal benefits. The mysteries are being finished. What are the mysteries? The mysteries is that which was concealed before the world ever was, and that was your benefits and rights as a son and daughter of God. The court session is over. The judge has given the sentence. The lawyer pleaded your case. It counted. I read it to you tonight. Where it said, in a day accepted, I heard you and I brought salvation to you. The Lord has justified you, sanctified you once and for all by the offering up of the body of Jesus on the tree. He's predestinated, perfected forever, made without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, and you've been that way from the world. It's the beginning. Let me tell you something, folks. Somebody said, now the fivefold minister sent Brother Pike for the perfecting of the saints. They're going to take every spot, wrinkle, and blemish off the saints. I don't see where you get that. There ain't never been a spot, wrinkle, or blemish on a saint. If it was a spot, wrinkle, or blemish, you wouldn't be a saint. Now look, do you think Christ is going to marry a woman that everybody else has put their filthy hands on? Christ is going to have a bride without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. We're justified in the sight of God. That is, it's been proven by the courts of God. It's been proven by the shed blood of Jesus Christ that we never was guilty of any wrong. Never have been guilty of a wrong. We were the predestinated seed of God before the world ever was. You say, well, what is the ministry for? Why does it take all these many years of waiting? Because we're dull of hearing. It's hard for us to believe. We can't accept our benefits. God's given us seven church ages where they're trying to tell us our benefits, our benefits, our benefits. And the ministry is revealing the mysteries. Proportionally, the mind of Christ is given to us. Part by part by part, until we know that we are perfect, we know that we are eternal, we know that we're not human beings, that we're God's sons and daughters of God that cannot die. say, Brother Park, I just can't believe that. Well, that's why I'm preaching to you, so you can be born again. You need to believe it. I do believe it. I believe it. We are gods. Jesus said, you're gods, but you'll die like men because of your unbelief. Somebody said, I'm afraid of the tornado. Well, the tornado ought to be afraid of you. You go out in the forest somewhere and a lion roars. Somebody said, ooh, I'm afraid of it. He ought to be afraid of you. You're the boss. Everything's in reverse. The devil got fear on the inside of you. And you're afraid of your own shadow. A mouse run across the floor. The women about have a fit. I've seen them scream like they're going insane just about it. Where's your courage? Where's thy faith? Jesus rebuked them on the boat. When they got afraid of the storm, Jesus wanted to know what was the matter with them. They were the masters. Jesus was a man just like they were a man. He was trying to be an example. He came to be a man to show them what a man could do. Is that right?
Amen.
He came in the world to be a man to show them what a man could do. Everything he'd done, he said, this I do and you do it too. Is that right? Came to be an example to show you what a man could do. Look what the man Elijah did. Look what the man Elisha did. Look what the man Moses did. And look what Joshua did when he stopped the sun. You say, I'm just a man. That's all he needs is just a man. Just a man. You're just the man he's looking for. All of your hearts is fashioned alike. All you got to do is believe, and he said, you have whatever you say, it don't make no difference. Just say it, believe it in your heart. Don't die. Somebody say, well, the reason I can't believe, said, I just can't believe that would happen if I believe. Have you ever tried it to say it? Somebody say, I just can't believe, Brother Pike, that would actually happen if I believe. Why don't you try to believe and see it happen?
Amen.
That's what I try to do. That's right. Somebody said, like I heard the other day, some fellow back over here in England somewhere teaching they can walk on the water, and a couple of people done got drowned in trying to walk on the water. Somebody said, well, that just proves that you can't do it. No, that just proves they didn't believe it. I still believe you can walk on the water. But I'll tell you what, like Brother Branham said about the bird, you better not be bluffing. When you jump out in the middle of the ocean, you better believe. Like that little article, Kissinger. How many seen the paper with Kissinger? The waters rolled back and Kissinger's walking right through it. And he got him played up his Moses. Down on the bottom it said, you've got to believe. See, even Kissinger knows you got to believe. How many understand what I'm saying? I am going to close. Just a few more words here and I'm going to close. Listen, we are the resurrection. If you're the resurrection, I want to ask you a question now. How many tonight believe that you are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ? I want to see you. How many of you tonight believe that the body of the Lord is the resurrection? I want to see your hand. How many of you believe tonight that you are the resurrection? I want to see your hand. Who ever heard of the resurrection dying? How could you die and be the resurrection? Now somebody ain't telling the truth. They got a little saying in the world, tell it like it is. Now if you don't believe it that way, don't be telling it like that. Is that right? Tonight, we are the resurrection. We are the life. We are the truth. We are the way. Nobody can come to God but by us. The Bible said, you pray that God will grant repentance unto life to them that are out yonder. We are the bowels of mercy. We are the open door in heaven. We are the one they've got to come through. It's you that prays them through. When your all begins to get low and you don't pray them through, there won't be anybody coming through. Can you receive us tonight? God has never at any time done anything without a man. Come on now. I'll tell you what, I know that a lot of you really love to get me in a corner somewhere and prove how wrong I am on that. Like I told somebody else, the other day, you might jump the gun. You better find out where you go. You might be running in the ditch. God never has done anything without a man. Somebody said, wait a minute, Brother Pike. What about when he created the angels over there before a man ever came? He had a man. His name was Jesus. The Bible said that he created all things by Jesus Christ. Is that right? And without him was nothing made that was made. He never has done anything without a man. He needs a man, and you can be that man tonight if you want to. I want you to stand with me tonight.